Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, those of you who listen regularly know that Backyard and Beyond means what's happening in your backyard, and then sometimes we go beyond. And this morning, it's way beyond because something caught my eye about Madagascar. What do you know about Madagascar? How many people live there? Where is it? What's the population? What's the climate? Well, my answer to that question is I know nothing, except now I know a little bit more because I wanted to go find out more. The reason? Well, King Arthur Flowers is, and that's F-L-O-U-R, for you bakers, know that they have a website, and I get an email fairly often on a consistent basis. And some of you have heard Miss Nene and I, when we were doing a program together, often talked about King Arthur Flour. And so in this most recent email, and I don't always open them all up and read them, but what caught my eye was something about vanilla. And the heading said, Helping Vanilla Farmers Rebuild. And in there, it says that this spring, that was in March, Madagascar endured one of the worst storms to hit the country in more than a decade. It was a cyclone, and more than 10 years ago, they had an even bigger one. But in this spring, it destroyed homes and flooded farms. Over 50 people died. And a particular part of the country that was affected was the northern vanilla farming regions. So about 80% of the world's vanilla grows in Madagascar. Much of it's on small-scale farms that rely on this crop for their income, just to stay alive, just to feed their families. So King Arthur Flowers says that emergency efforts are underway, trying to help those farmers recover. And King Arthur Flower has partnered with the Sustainable Vanilla Initiative to help Madagascar rebuild. They're giving donations to help families get the seeds, tools, and other resources they need to come back. So what's happening in Madagascar is somewhat affecting us. Now, I don't buy vanilla on a very often. You know, I buy a bottle and I don't do enough baking that it lasts quite a long time. And neither do I really look to see where that vanilla came from. And although 80% of the vanilla comes from Madagascar, there are some other places, although limited places, where the vanilla beans can be grown. And they are on a kind of like a shrub tree plant. They don't grow underground. They're more look more like green beans, big green beans when they start, but very, very prolific on the tree. So, and there has to be particular, of course, environment for that to happen. So I know that some of you have visited Mexico, and one of the things you bring back from Mexico is vanilla. Yes, Mexico is one of the places that grows vanilla beans. And then some the places that are near the Indian Ocean, for instance, some very limited other places grown in the South Pacific. Those are some other places where vanilla beans can be grown. But, as I said, 80% of our vanilla beans come from Madagascar. Where is Madagascar? Well, it is formerly known as the Malagasy Republic. It's an island country in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Southeast Africa. And the nation comprises the island of Madagascar and some other smaller surrounding islands. Following a prehistoric breakup, Madagascar was split from the Indian Peninsula. So, you know, that's why it's now an island. That's been a long time ago. But that allowed native plants and animals to evolve in a relative isolation, because what was there and what, you know, they're pretty much divided from the rest of the continent. So it is a biodiversity hotspot. Over 90% of its wildlife is found nowhere else on Earth. An interesting place to visit, right? The island's diverse ecosystem and unique wildlife are threatened by the encroachment, of course, of the rapidly growing human population and other environmental threats. So I tried to look up what was the population of Madagascar, and that resulted in some pretty interesting information. The problem with population estimation in Madagascar is that the data is very old and limited. The last population census was carried out in 1993 after an initial 1975 census. And there was an attempt at doing a census again in 2009, but because of the political instability, that did not happen. So the demographic situation is, you know, just sort of guessed at. And hopefully the estimates are somewhat reliable, but we question the reliability. According to the 2010 revision of the World Population Prospects, the total population was 20 million in 2010 compared to 4 million in 1950. But, you know, that's a long way in between. It sounds like a lot of growth, but between 1950 and 2010, that's a lot of years. Interesting, too, that the proportion of children below the age of 15 in 2010 was 43%. So that's quite a few young children to be thinking about what their future is going to be. So we're talking about small vanilla bean farmers. And when you think about the problems, the challenges that farmers have here, the farmers that you know, what are some of those you'd list? Well, I'm guessing weather would be kind of at the top of the list. Some things they can't control a lot, although we kind of try to do something to relate to the results of that weather. The total country economy is another one. And just like in many places, the larger operations, the larger farmers, are replacing the small farmers. So many similar challenges to farming right here where you know about farming. Those same kinds of challenges, plus many more, are happening to the vanilla bean farmers. Another challenge, of course, is all of the processing that vanilla beans have to go through. And when I say processing, much of that is natural. You know, they're picked when they're green. They have to mature. They have to age. They have to be cleaned. They have to be dried. There's just so many processes, as I say, many of those natural, that the vanilla bean has to go through before even the bean reaches you. Have you used a bean, a vanilla bean, you know, just the bean itself? That's one option, but most of us find our vanilla in a bottle on the shelf. So, of course, that process has to happen also. So much processing that goes from that original vanilla bean on the plant to the vanilla that we use mostly in baking. Now, vanilla is the most expensive spice after saffron. Hadn't thought about that either. Because growing the vanilla seed pods is labor intensive, but it is a highly flavored or highly valued flavor. And I always say, and other people agree, if it only tasted out of the bottle like it smelled, we'd probably be drinking it like crazy because it smells so good. And then, of course, when we add it to various baked goods and beverages often, it just adds a flavor that's almost indescribable. It is a very unique flavor that we would miss if we did not have it. So I'm not saying you should give to these farmers, but I think it's interesting to understand, to be aware, maybe not totally understand, but to be aware how a cyclone in Madagascar may affect the quality and the price and the amount of vanilla that we can get on our local shelves. And of all of the vanillas that are available, most chefs prefer that comes from Madagascar rather than other places. So, interesting to me, story about vanilla and how what's happening someplace else, what's happening to other farmers, really does affect what's happening right here, and perhaps makes us more aware of our global connections. So the next time you plan to use vanilla and you take it off the shelf or out of the bean, just think about those small farmers that are suffering through lots of problems. Until next time, there's no such thing as weak competition. It's kind of like weeds. It grows all the time.